Sometimes we can go through trials, we can go through conflict with one another, and sometimes we can allow hurts to turn into scars, we can allow bitterness to set in, and all of a sudden, my brother in the Lord, I have animosity towards. I don't prefer them. I prefer myself over them. It can be easy to do. Am I preferring them? Am I honoring them? Am I loving them? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Do something in the chapel and we're not very diligent about it. I was supposed to teach Sunday school today, but I kind of forgot, so I got up early this morning and studied so that I would have something to say. Perhaps that might not be being diligent. But sometimes we can convince ourselves that it's okay. But we wouldn't do that at work. We wouldn't perform that way or offer that up to our secular employees or customers. But somehow we think it's okay in things in service of the Lord. He says, no, not slothful, but fervent in spirit. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Tribulations will come from outside, but also from inside. And we have a firm hope in the heavenlies that fadeth not away, right? Continuing instant in prayer. Are we praying for one another? And I find that when I pray for others, my heart can't help but to prefer them, to place them above myself, to honor them. If there's been conflict in the past, when I pray for them, my heart is changed. Instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Oh, it's so easy to get caught up in our own schedules. I know for me, just the things that I'm doing from day to day, and then the kids and my wife, and it can be easy just to get caught up in all that. And sometimes hospitality is something that I have to actually give myself to. It doesn't always come natural. I love having... The hospitality isn't always having somebody over for a meal, but I love doing that. But when you get busy, sometimes just kind of doesn't become a priority. We're instructed here to be given to that. We're supposed to give ourselves to this. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. That can be challenging. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Have you ever known somebody and they are just so excited about this thing going on in their life, and they are telling everybody because they're just so happy, and you're thinking, okay, you should be happy about that, but you're kind of weird about it. You're supposed to rejoice with them. Who cares if they're weird about it? If it's something to rejoice over, rejoice. Share in them. Don't quench that spirit for them. Weep with them that weep. So many of us have challenges, trials in our lives that a lot of people may not ever know about. And we need to be there to minister to people. See them as the Lord sees them, lost and saints alike. And be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. There is a point in which we have to say, well, we are here. We are believers. We're called to share our faith. We're called to build one another up, and we have this common goal. We have this direction. Let us do it together, shoulder to shoulder. We're not by ourselves. You need to be careful of pride. Not wise in your own conceits. Oh, that's a challenge for me. Because something comes up, my mind just tries to find the solution. And it comes up with something, and it must be right. So I think that that's the right answer. Sometimes it is. Many times it's not. I need to be careful. I don't always know the right answer. Not wise in your own conceits. Our relationship to the world. What is our relationship to the world? In verse 17 it says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Sometimes that can be really challenging because people can be mean. People can be vicious and can sin against you in a way that, if you think about it, you would never treat anybody else. And they've offended you. They've cut you deep. But we're called to forgive. We're called to live at peace. We're called not to repay evil for evil. And if they're not a born-again believer, they don't have the Lord Jesus. We can't expect them to live as a believer. We can't expect them to have love in their heart, to serve the Lord when they don't even know Him. So why do I have this reaction that they should treat me a certain way? If they are lost, they are enslaved to their sin. Recompense no man evil for evil. So we're to serve them with peace. And that can take on many different forms. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In James he says, The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Sometimes we think that we know just what to do to teach them a lesson so that they'll learn from this thing that they did. We need to be careful. We need to be very careful. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's because of the mercies of God. It's because of His revelation of Himself to us that makes this wise. If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Without the word of God, that is foolishness. That is ridiculous. That is stupid. But with eternity in view, it makes perfect sense. It's how we would act as believers having a sound mind. That will heap coals of fire on his head. Why are they doing this? I know I cheated them, but I never told him, but I know he knows, and he's just being so generous to me. I don't understand it. It's a testimony. And it's selfless. Not taking an account of wrong suffered. And on that day, perhaps, we will understand that because of our actions, we cause somebody to think of eternal things. We cause them to ask those important questions. And maybe we're not the ones to introduce them to the Lord. Perhaps we won't see the fruit of it. But make no mistake about it, it will have eternal ramifications. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Of course, the Lord Jesus was the perfect example of this. He was the ultimate servant. He always did the will of the Father. He laid down his life for the church. He reached out to a lost and dying world, and he did not revile when he was reviled. If we ever think that we have the right, the duty to avenge ourselves or to be upset because we've been wronged, we have no other place to look but our Lord and Savior. If anyone had the right, he did, and he didn't take it. Our relationship to the Lord, our Lord, the saints, and the world. One story in closing about our relationship with the saints, our being a part of the body. I was in band and orchestra and choir in school, and so this illustration appeals to me. Oftentimes, I would try out for a particular concert band or orchestra, and you would go in and you'd play scales or a piece of music that you brought, and they might give you a piece of music that you've never seen before, and you're supposed to sight read it, and they'll judge you, and if you make the cut, you'll be in the orchestra. And then they arrange all of the musicians based on their auditions and where they sit. The chair that they sit in is reflective of what they'll be playing and perhaps how well they did in the audition. Now, I played the tuba, so my competition wasn't as fierce as, say, a violinist or somebody who played the trumpet. There'd be a lot of those coming out. But, yeah, I wanted to be first chair. There might only be two of us, but I wanted to be first chair. So I knew that I was better than the other guy. Well, Leonard Bernstein, many of you may know who that is, was a celebrated orchestra conductor. He was a true maestro, wrote many pieces of music for drama and the like. He wrote music for West Side Story, I think. Someone asked him one time, they said, "What is the hardest instrument to play?" And his reply without hesitation was, "Second fiddle. I can always get plenty of first violinists." Everyone has a part to fulfill. Not everybody can be first violinist. That's an important position. First chair. They get up, they pluck their violin, and the whole orchestra gets tuned to them. But in the piece of music, if you don't have the second section which might play the harmony, the music would be incomplete. Everybody has that position to fill. In the body of Christ, the same thing is true. It might be standing up here and talking. It might be cleaning toilets. It might be washing windows. But they're all important. They're all needed. And each one of us has a duty to fulfill whatever our function is. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we just thank you for the example of our mothers and our lives, and the thought of subjecting ourselves to something that is higher than ourselves, more important than ourselves, namely our relationship with you, our relationship with the saints, and our relationship with the world. We pray that you would help us to keep these things in perspective and not be caught up with the affairs of this world, but we would live with eternity in view. We ask your blessing on the food that has been prepared downstairs. We give our thanks to you, and we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.